Blog Talk Radio. All right. Hold tight, listeners. This is Yama Sufa Arif, and I'm getting Cartrell on. It's number Cartrell, I hear your number ringing. Cartrell. Let me dial him again. Brother Cartrell, are you there? Brother Cartrell, are you there? Can you hear now, brother? Can you hear me? Cartrell. Oh, you can hear me now, Cartrell? Yeah, I can hear you in the back room, but I can't hear you up front. Hold tight. Let me try to patch in through my phone, but it's going to drop me off, too, like it was dropping you off, I suspect. Well, the students, perhaps the students can hear you. Okay, let me see. Okay, let me take this out. Cartrell, can you hear me now? Cartrell, can you hear me?
Shalom, Yamsu, can you hear me?
No.
Cartrell, can you hear me now, brother?
Yes. Cartrell. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're loud and clear, brother. Praise Yah.
Yep.
All right.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. All right. Let's start all over. Chapter 9 of Shemuel. Saul is chosen as the king, and their choices is based upon the outside, not on the inward side. We will find out as we go. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. That was King Saul's father, King Saul to be. Kish was the son of Abiel, and he was the son of Zoar, the son of Bekorah, the son of Ephiah, a Benjamite. His man was a substance. He had some things. A mighty man of power. He had a choice, handsome son whose name was Saul. Soon to be King Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of all the tribes. From his shoulder upward, he was taller than any of the people of all the tribes. So the outward appearance looked dashing and handsome, but nevertheless he missed something. But we will find this later on in our studies. It is not what on the outside is what's in the inside. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, Saul, please take one of the servants with you. Arise, go look for the donkeys. So he passed to the mouth of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but he did not find them. Then they passed to the land of Shalim, and they were not there. Then he passed to the land of the Benjamites, their land, but he did not find them. He went on, traveled all over. When he came to the land of Suf, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come, let us return. At least my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about. He didn't want his daddy to be worried about him. And he said to him, look, now that's his man talking, his servant. And he said to him, now look, there in this city, a man of Yah. He is an honorable man. All that he says surely come to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Then Saul said to his servants, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? What shall we give him? For the bread and our vessels is all gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of Yah. What do we have? And he had come in courtesy, King Saul, to be. And the servant answered, King Saul, because it soon will be. Answered King Saul again and said, look, I have here at hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of Yah to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of Yah, he spoke thus. And this is how we spoke at that time. Come, let us go, not a necromania, not these witchcraft and sorcerers, but a seer. He sees what Yah says and what Yah wants you to know. For he who is now called, and now they call him a prophet, was formerly called a seer at that time. Then King Saul said to his servant, well, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of Yah was, and they went up the hill to the city. They met some young women going out to draw water and said to them, is the seer here? And they answered him and said, yes, there he is just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to this city because there is a sacrifice of the people today on the high place. As soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes. Now he must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, those who are invited will eat. Now therefore, go up, for about this time you will find him. So they went up to the city. As they were coming into the city, there was Samuel coming out toward them on his way to the high place. Now Yah had told Samuel in his ear, the day before King Saul, came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, from that tribe. You should have known him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. So when Samuel saw King Saul, Yah said to him, they is the man whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people. Then King Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer's house? And Samuel answered King Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you will eat with me today and tomorrow. I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys, they were lost 3 days ago. Do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on your father's house? King Saul answered and said, he's thinking in his mind. He said, am I not a Benjamite? One of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? How is that going to rest on our shoulders, so to speak? And my family within that tribe, at least all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like that to me, like I got something going on, so to speak? Now, Samuel took King Saul and his servant and brought them into the hill and had them sit in the place of honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you, or which I said to you, it was one of the best portions. Set it apart. So the cook took up the thigh with the upper part and set it before King Saul. And Samuel said, here it is, what was kept back. It was set apart for you. Eat, for unto this time it has been kept for you since I said invite the people. So King Saul ate with Samuel that day. And when they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke to King Saul on the top of the house. They arose early, when it was about the dawning of the day. And Samuel called to King Saul on the top of the house, saying, get up, that I may see you on your way. And King Saul arose, both of them, his servant, well, both of them, King Saul and Samuel, both of them went outside, he and Simuel. And as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Simuel said to King Saul, tell the servant to go ahead of us. And he went on, but you stand here a while that I may announce to you the word of Yah. He didn't say my opinion, my thoughts, or whatever. He said the word of Yah. And if people ain't talking about the word of Yah, they ain't talking about nothing, bottom line. And as I said, for as people concerned, people have a tendency to look on the outside. They saw how tall he was among our nation, how handsome he was among our nation. They thought that was a durable personality, heights and looks. That's not a good personality because I want to tell you, I'm going to put the cart before the horse a little bit. King David wasn't a tall brother. He was good looking, but he wasn't good looking as King Saul. But he had what it took inside, which is he loved the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. We can see that when we first introduced their young brother and his brothers and sisters as himself. Praise God. But that's for another day. Brother Cottrell, you have the mic, my brother. May the Most High bless you.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Giving thanks and praise that he allowed us to continue with the show, because I definitely thought it was over.
I hear you for a moment.
Can you hear me, Yamsu? You still there?
Yes, I hear you, brother.
Because I got to, because you really read through that kind of quick. But,
okay.
Did you see anything unusual in this story?
Let me reflect back.
Because let me start with this.
Okay.
The people didn't choose King Saul.
Right.
It was Yah making the choice the whole time. There wasn't no election. Are we going to choose this one or that one? We're going to choose that one because he's tall. He's the handsomest amongst us. The people didn't have a say in it at all. But the fact that he was this, as it is described, Yah chose him. And how do you know Yah chose him? The prophet Samuel already knew he was coming. That's
exactly
why he was there.
Exactly.
He prepared a feast for him, to meet him. Matter of fact, he put a piece of meat aside for him. And guess what? To tell you the truth. He told him where the donkeys were. He only asked the prophet Samuel about the donkey before the prophet told him where the donkeys were.
Exactly.
Which lets you know that the donkeys were following Yah's order too, because they couldn't find him. Why would these donkeys act like this at this particular point in time?
Exactly.
Everything was controlled by Yah. Yah said, I'm going to give you a king, and he's going to be a king that's going to take your sons, he's going to take your daughters, he's going to take your land, and he knew exactly who he was choosing when he said that. The people didn't choose King Saul, and those are the attributes that he had. He was tall, the tallest amongst us, handsome, one of the handsomest amongst us, and he wasn't the least in Benjamin. His father had power, Kish. That's what it said in the beginning, right? Oh, I'm the least in Benjamin. No, you're not. You got a servant with you. How are you the least in Benjamin? You got a servant. So I say that to say that the Most High controls things that we definitely don't understand sometimes. Things happen for a reason. And Yah be in control. We didn't choose King Saul. Yah chose King Saul for us. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. All right, Brother Cottrell. Thank you very much, brother. I very much appreciate that. And you're right to point that out to the students. The people didn't choose Yah, as I alluded to. They didn't choose King Saul, as I alluded to. Yah had chosen. But even in that being said, Yah is teaching a lesson here. Yah chose an individual from the smallest tribe, the smallest family in that tribe, He chose a man that was the tallest of the nation. He chose a man that was quite handsome. Yah is, in a fine analysis of the whole story, Yah is teaching a lesson here. It ain't what you see on the inside. It's what the individual is made of in the inside. He chooses people what they're made up based upon the inside. As you will find out when we study, when King David come upon the scene. He was a nice looking fellow, but he wasn't all that tall. You know, he was an average Hebrew Israelite, as you would say at the time. But he had what it took, brothers and sisters. He had what was in him. What was in him made him a good king. As I said, he loved the world, wrote his strength, and his brothers and sisters as himself. And he didn't lord over people. He was a humble brother. Thank you, Brother Kydrill.
I just want to say something to that because we kind of look down on our King Saul.
Right.
King Saul wasn't politicking for that position. Not at all. Yah chose him. And all the negativity that we see in King Saul, Yah chose him because he was a warrior.
Right.
He beat back the Philistines. He just wasn't obedient when it came time to be obedient to the word of Yah. Because the people thought that they could mold him into the king that they perceived that they wanted him to be. And rather than him listening to the Most High and the prophet Samuel, he listened to the council and the people, his family, his father, his uncle, all those people that was around him trying to mold him to be a king.
Exactly.
So he has a tragic character because he was a good man. And
exactly.
He didn't make himself tall. He didn't make himself handsome, but he was a warrior, which is why King David loved him and his son Jonathan, because they beat back Philistine. So we hear a lot of negativity about King Saul, but King Saul, he didn't ask for the job, and he tried to hold it down, but he had some fatal flaws, and all of us got fatal flaws, because ain't none of us perfect.
Exactly.
All praise.
All praise. Thank you, Brother Cartrell. Fellow students, Cartrell will lead us to the last segment of study, which is, let me find it right quick. Is in Isaiah. Well, that's what the name you call it, but that's not the correct pronunciation. Chapter 10, but Cartrell will give you the correct, am I right, Cartrell, number 10 or 11?
Chapter 10, you're correct.
Okay, thank you, brother. Okay.
All praise.
Yeah, but Cartrell, all praise. Cartrell will give you the right pronunciation. Thank you, Brother Cartrell.
Yes, Yeshi Yahu. Yeshi Yahu. Yah is salvation. And Prophet Yeshayahu was so powerful, I could understand why our present-day apostles do not want us to hear his word. Because his word deals with our condition today, it dealt with our condition in the past, and it deals with our condition in the future. So this coming chapter that we're about to peruse is chapter 10. All praise the Holy One Yisrael for our great prophet Yeshayahu. We have visions that we wish we had, prophetic visions. Chapter 10, verse 1. Woe to those who decree iniquitous decrees and the writers who keep writing oppression. And we live in Babylon. They got all kind of laws. What you say, Yamsu? They got a warehouse full of laws that oppress us. And what do they do with those laws?
Yeah, they got warehouse of laws. They don't mean it very much.
What do they do with those laws? Turn aside the needy from justice and rob the poor of my people of their right. Are our oppressors still doing that?
Exactly.
It's the same scenario. The same scenario. People in power who have power to help the needy and stand up for the right of the poor, that's not what they do. Why? Because nations, peoples, these nations are wicked. That widows may be their spoil. Yeah, single mother households. And they've been spoiling us for how long since we've been single mother households? That they may make themselves the fatherless their prey. Yeah, because our brothers that don't have fathers, where they wind up? On the street, incarcerated, wandering around in Babylon. What will you do on the day of punishment in the ruin that will come from Tafar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your wealth? Nothing remains but to crouch among the prisoners or fall among the slain. For all this, his anger has not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. And that was a description of how we treated each other. Not foreigners. We oppressed each other. We turned aside the needy from justice, and we robbed the poor of our people. That's why we're in the condition that we are now. Now Yah turns his attention to our real oppressors, the Assyrians. Woe to Assyria. And Assyria is just a name that Yah used as a weapon. And I think they classify ancient Assyria, which did his job. The Most High speaking futuristic here. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, the staff in their hand is my fury, which shows you that Yah uses any nation against the godless nation that I send him. And what godless nation are you talking about? You're talking about Israel. And against the people of my wrath, I command him to take spoil and seize plunder and to tread them down like the mire in the streets. Yah was so furious with us. But he does not so intend. And his heart does not think so. For this weapon that Yah is using against us, he thinks of his own accord. He thinks he's doing his own thing. It's like universal white racial supremacy. They got us in check, but it's by the hand of Yah. Yah is using them as a weapon to put punishment on us. It's the same thing. He don't understand what's going on, but it is in his heart to destroy. And that's what we see from our oppressors today. They seek to destroy us and to cut off nations, not a few. That's what they do. They want one world order. They want democracy everywhere. For he says, are not my commanders all clean? It's not Kano and Carhemis. It is not Haman and Rampah. It's not Samaria and like Damascus. As my hand has reached to the kingdoms of the idols, whose carved images were better than those of Jerusalem and Samaria, so I met do Jerusalem and her idols, as I have done to Samaria and her images. So Judah didn't learn a lesson from the 10 tribes of Israel. For the 10 tribes of Israel were worshiping idols, and Yah brought the Assyrians down on them. Now Judah's doing the same thing, and Yah's going to bring that same weapon, the Assyrians, down to punish Yehuda. When Yah has finished all his work on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, he will punish the speech of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria. Oh yeah, our oppressors have their time for judgment. And the boastful look in his eyes. For he says, by the strength of my hand have I done it. Same thing universal white racist supremacy are saying. We got these Negroes where we want them. And we did it. No, y'all didn't do it. Y'all did it. And by my wisdom, my technology, my education, for I have understanding. I removed the boundaries of the people. And we know universal white racial supremacy is famous for moving people's boundaries and claiming it as their own and plunder their treasures, which they continue to do today. They're trying to rob Africa, the continent, the richest land on the planet, of the treasures that exist there. Like a bull, I will bring down those who sit on thrones. How many thrones are left on the earth today?
Not very many.
Mm-hmm. Count them on your hand.
Mm-hmm.
My hand has found, like a nest, the wealth of the peoples. Ain't that what universal white racial supremacy do?
The wealth of the people,
they do.
Yes.
They take mm-hmm. the wealth of the people. They call it economic hitmen.
Right.
The World Bank lends loans to these wealthy African nations with their resources, and then jack up the price on the stock market so they can't pay him back. And that's how they become in debt. And with that debt, they can't pay back the World Bank. All right, they got a game. It says, my hand is found like a nest, the wealth of the peoples. And as one gathers eggs that have been forsaken, so I have been gathering all the earth, universal white racial supremacy. And there was none that moved a wing or chirped the mouth or chirped. Why? Because y'all so powerful. Can't nobody challenge y'all. At least right now. But y'all got an answer for y'all. This is what y'all saying to y'all who boasted. Shall the axe boast over him who hews with it? If you got a weapon, can the weapon talk? Can the weapon say, like, I'm doing this? Or is the one that's using the weapon effectively that has the power?
Exactly.
Because this weapon is talking, and that's how they talk. They got superior air power. They got a space force. Okay. Well, who's willing them? Y'all don't realize the Most High is willing y'all. Or the sword magnifies itself against him who wields it. As if a rod should wield him who lifts it. Or as if a stone should lift him who is not wood. Therefore, Yah Elohim of hosts will send wasting sickness among the stout warriors, COVID-19, and under his glory, a burning will be kindled, like the burning of fire. The light of Yisrael will become a fire. Oh, we ain't seen that fire yet. But are y'all prepared to see the fire of Yisrael come out? And his Holy One, a flame. This is why they try to shut the program down tonight, Yamsu. I'm telling you.
Exactly.
You know, Yisrael, some people will become a flame. And they don't want to hear it. They want us to put it in the ethos because it's coming. And this Holy One, a flame. He's going to make that connection with our Creator. And it will burn and devour his thorns and briars in one day. The glory of his forests and of his fruitful land, Yah will destroy both soul and body. And it will be as when a sick man wastes away. The remnant of the trees of his forests will be so few that a child can write them down. We see forests burning today, don't we?
Exactly.
And that day, the remnant of Israel and the survivors of the house of Jacob will no more lean on him who struck them. Could that be talking about?
Mm-hmm.
We lean on Western ways, don't we?
Yeah, statutes and the system and the laws of universal white race supremacy.
And we're an Eastern people leaning on Western ways, aren't we?
Exactly.
Well, we ain't trying to get back to the Eastern ways no time soon, are we?
Not by the looks of it, brother. Not by the looks of
most
it.
Most likely, we're going to stop doing that. We're not going to lean on the Western ways. Oh, no, because the Western ways have struck us till we don't even know where we belong.
Exactly.
But we will lean on Yah, which we should be doing now. We will lean on Yah, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Because we've been taught a lot of lies, haven't we?
Certainly, brother. We certainly have.
If he will set us, teach us a lot of lies. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty Elohim. For though your people, Israel, be as the sands of the sea, only a remnant will return. Because everybody, all of us ain't going to get it. You're so wrapped up by the people that struck up. You remember that cartoon, Crazy Cat?
Exactly.
A little rat hitting his cat upside the head with a brick. And she talking about, oh, Ignat, I love you. He just hit you with a brick upside your head, and you love him?
Exactly.
But anyway, that's our people. The Ignat. Well, though your people be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will return. Destruction is decreed. It's already written. They already said it. And that destruction is overflowing with righteousness. Ain't that what we need?
Exactly.
A righteous force that destroys everything that's wicked. For Yah of hosts will make a full end, as decreed, in the midst of all the earth. He's talking about the second judgment. He ain't talking about the flood. He's talking about this fire that's coming with this righteous destruction that we desperately need as we speak. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, O my people who dwell in Zion, don't be afraid of Assyria, of the Assyrians, when they strike with the rod and lift up their staff against you as the Egyptians did, because it's coming. You know it's coming, right? We had to endure the punishment that was coming from Yah, didn't we?
Exactly.
For in a very little while, my fury will come to an end. And we pray for that day. We pray that we see that day in our time, that Yah's anger towards our people comes to an end. And my anger will be directed to their destruction. We're talking about our enemies. And Yahweh will wield against them a whip, as when he struck Midian at the rock of Horeb. That's what Gideon and the angels came down and struck 180,000 of the enemy. Angels fighting that battle. As his staff will be over the sea, and as he will lift it as he did in Egypt. So y'all got powers over these nations. And in that day, his burden will depart from your shoulders and his yoke from off your neck. And the yoke will be broken because of the fat, because you're going to be strong and mighty. And anybody on planet Earth got that yoke upon their neck, like the transatlantic slave trade on a massive scale. He has come to Ai. He has passed through Migron at Mikmas. He stores his baggage. They have crossed over the pass of Giba. They lodge for the night. Ramah trembles. Gibeah of Shaul has fled. Cry aloud, O Dola of Gilead. Your attention, O Laish, O poor Anathoth. Mad Mina is in flight. The inhabitants of Gibeon flee for safety. This very day, he will halt at Nob. He will shake his fist at the mount of the daughter of Zion at the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, Yahweh will lop the bows with terrifying power. The great in height will be hewn down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickest of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one. All praise to the Holy One of Israel.
Thank you, Brother Gartrio. Thank you, fellow students. Most important, thank you, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, for giving us the opportunity to put his word into the ethos. We hope something was said to enlighten you, inform you, and help improve you. We pray that we've given it to you. We've provided it for you. Now it's up to you. It works only if you work it. Not simply by listening to it and putting it on your china cabinet, your dresser drawer. You have to make the right applications. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Cottrell, any final remarks and comments? Shaloms and good nights.
I was just reflecting on the story that you read, how King Saul became king.
Exactly.
His father was rich. He had servants. Why was it three donkeys and not three sheep or three goats or three dogs?
Right.
To me, it's like symbolic. Our people are hard-headed, stiff-necked, and stubborn as a donkey. And he sent like triple, all three of them out there. But he showed that those hard-headed donkeys can be brought in line because they was in tune with the Most High. The Most High was moving them. And just like Samuel, we need to be in tune. All of us should hear the voice of the Most High, like our prophet did. But that's why these studies are here, so some of us can elevate to that status. Because there are some amongst us that are like Samuel, like Moshe, like Shimshon. We just have to tune in. That's why we continue to do what we do, to tap that gene that's in you, to reconnect to the Most High. And may the Most High shine his light upon you and his plan to deliver us as a people. We love y'all. Shalom and good night.
Thank you very much, Brother Cartrell. And I concur with Brother Cartrell. And we concur with the Most High. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. And may the Most High willing, we'll be back tomorrow. Praise Yah. And may the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. God, I got to find a song now. I think I ought to put that Broken People on. basically, that's what the Most High says. We're broken people. And that's a fact, my brother. Shalom.
Not for long.
Good night.
Not for long.
Not for long. Truth be told, brother. Thank you very much. Shalom. So, we're broken people now. We're burning now. So cold and bleeding now, now, now. Gonna let you down. We're broken people.
I won't never be nothing, ain't that something? I've risen from the bottom, I got them eyes on the prize, and inside I'm damn right I overcame. Y'all know the name, we similar but never been the same. Everybody, yeah, they know the name, right now. I'ma make it somehow, make it some way. Yeah, you know we gon' get it today. Like, I'm all on my own now, but won't ever let you down. Won't let you down,
down, down.
Yes, I've been through it, they know I do it for the people I'm fighting, so we be equal for my son and my sequel, and anybody who listening in they system like venom, I get in them and spread viciously. This is
we're
me.
We're broken people now. We're burning now. So cold I'm bleeding now, now, now. Gonna let
Young Logic, the rap addict, giving it every part of myself on the real, you would think I'd be asthmatic. Allergic to your bullshit, yeah that's right, I done had it. Real all the time, if you rep it, get it, cat it right now. It's right here, a vibe right now. I am too alive right now, I'm alive right now. Come on, feel the vibe right now. Feel the vibe, feel the vibe, feel the vibe. Yes, I've been through it, they know I do it for the people I'm fighting, so we be equal for my son and my sequel, and anybody who listening in they system like venom, I get in them and spread viciously. This is
we're
me.
We're broken people now. We're burning now. So cold I'm bleeding now, now, now. Gonna let you down. Broken we ain't beaten, there's no glory in defeat. We won't fall into the cracks between our streets. We're broken people now.